And boom goes the dynamite. Welcome back to another edition of Las Vegas Money Resource. I am your host, Travis Scribner, managing partner of Westpac Wealth Partners here in Las Vegas, Nevada. Joined today, Ian Rogers, president of Mvestor Media. Las Vegas Money Resource is going to be your weekly stop for all things, for guess what? Money. All things money related. Talking with small business owners about how they got started in the community, what is the driving force behind their business, where they see the economy going in the city, and other fun facts about their business to hopefully inspire those out there to possibly start a business, work with their business, or just learn a bit more about how finance in the city works. As I mentioned, I'm joined by Ian Rogers, president of Mvestor Media. Ian, before we get started, tell me a little bit about your business, what exactly you do, and your background.
Yeah, Travis, thanks for having me, first of all. I'm glad to be on the show. It's really simple, actually. We do plain and simple web design. We take it from a managed standpoint. So we also offer hosting, maintenance, and update services. So we don't try to just build a site and turn it over to the client. We want to be a resource for that client and provide the security, the backups, the maintenance, and ultimately all the updates after the site is launched and built.
So all things web media based.
Exactly. And specifically for small businesses. So if someone were to come to us with like a Amazon type shop, it wouldn't necessarily be the best fit for us, but just a small business who wants to have an online presence and wants to get on the web in a quick and affordable way and use us as a resource to keep it going. That's always a great fit for us.
I think that's a great point you mentioned. I think small business is kind of this relative term. When you say small business, what does that mean to you and to Mvestor Media?
So what I really mean by small business is a business that doesn't do web design or have a web design department in-house. Because, I mean, small businesses could be somewhere up to probably 500 employees, in which case they'll have most likely some type of web presence team in-house. So for companies that don't have a website design or development staff, we can be that outsourced version of that department.
Awesome. So just kind of essentially almost an outsourced IT department.
Exactly.
But on the web side of things.
Exactly. So the common term in the IT, like in the IT realm, is managed services. What we actually do is what we call managed web design. So it's the same fit, but just a little bit different service.
Unique name to the company, Mvestor Media. Talk to me about that. Where'd that come from?
So it's funny. We kind of started the company. So we started it back in 2009. My dad had the domain mvestor.com. We were going to do some media relations and some investor relations stuff. Like with publicly traded companies and pink sheets and things like that. But we actually...
Which Las Vegas Money Resource does not condone. No condoning of the pink sheets here.
Okay, cool. Yeah.
It's my compliance.
Absolutely. So we had Mvestor.com, which my dad gave to me. And we just were one day going to do one thing, and which... eventually just led to another, which was web design, which was actually my passion back in high school.
Cool. You mentioned that. So from an educational standpoint, you know, you were passionate about it in high school. It feels like I'm aging myself right now when I'm talking to someone who talks about, you know, web design being something that they were passionate about in high school. I think I got my first computer my senior year of high school. It was on dial-up, and my computer background before that was all around Oregon Trail. So the fact that you had that was in your mind to do something like that is pretty cool and pretty interesting. You were interested in it in high school. Was there any more education past that? Were you self-taught around the web design? It feels like a lot of people I'm around are almost savants when it comes to these types of things. So is this something that was self-taught for you or that you continued your education with?
I was actually 100% self-taught. I started in high school. I was the geeky kid in high school who actually had his own website. And back in back during that time, it was not a lot of people had some type of online presence besides, you know, Facebook or MySpace.
Or America Online for me.
Exactly. Or AOL. Yeah, exactly. AIM.
Yes.
So I did go to UNLV, but I went there for about a year and a half for entrepreneurship. And the reason for that is because self-teaching web design was really the best way for me to learn it. I had kind of previewed some of the classes, both at CSN and UNLV, and it was frankly just, it wasn't the way to go. With YouTube nowadays, with a lot of the articles that are being written by bloggers and other self-taught web developers, they just post everything online and you can just adapt and learn it yourself. And it's even more so today.
It's just such an interesting component of the business, I think. You know, so often you hear when you're talking to somebody on the tech side of things that, you know, I was self-taught. I think in my industry, you know, if a client walks into my office and says, nope, I didn't go to school for finance. You know, I was self-taught. They would probably run away as fast as they could. And,
exactly.
You know, met with a doctor and he's like, I was watching YouTube and I figured out how to do this. It's probably a red flag. But in your industry, it's something that's so prevalent. And you can almost, you know, the guys who have a knack for it are able to accelerate the growth curve for themselves with so much information out there. And it seems like that was something that, you know, you kind of took advantage of.
Yeah, absolutely. And with the way that education is now, it doesn't really make sense to teach web design in, you know, high school or college, at least given the way that I grew up in high school. Typically, the teacher stands at the front of the class and you have a textbook. Any textbook that's printed on web design today is going to be outdated the second it's printed.
Before it's even published.
Exactly. So by the time you put it down onto paper, you need to update that information. And based on my experience of school, that wasn't or isn't the best way of going about. So really the only option I had was to teach myself. And it was something that I loved doing, so it
makes
wasn't
it
a problem. Exactly.
Makes it easy. You talked about, obviously, you know, the partnership between your dad and yourself at first. Was that the progression into starting the company yourself and kind of going where it is now, or what kind of led to that?
So my dad always encouraged me. I had always had the drive and motivation to start my own company, and he just helped me do it. So he was certainly an inspiration. I had a lot of other mentors and people, not only in my family but outside of my family, who encouraged me to start. So it was great.
Kind of always had that entrepreneurial spirit within you.
Absolutely.
Which is interesting. I think, you know, you're a relatively young guy, and it seems to be something that's not as prevalent in, I guess, the millennial generation. They, from what I've seen, so many are so willing to trade their time for a paycheck and be an employee. And I think one of the things that's made this nation so great is that entrepreneurial spirit. So it's cool to see that with someone that's a bit younger. When oftentimes when I'm exposed to this millennial generation, it's not as prevalent. Amongst your peers, how do you kind of feel about that?
It's funny, like I go to a lot of conferences and things like that. And there was one here a few weeks ago here in Vegas called GrowCo. And there was an entire session on just how to work with millennials, like how to hire millennials, how to staff millennials. And I was like, I don't think they're expecting me to kind of show up to this this session here. So I have millennials that we have staffed in our company, and the one thing I can say is that they're absolutely great workers and they're not afraid to learn. And especially in my business and my line of work, you have to be willing to learn and adapt and change, because otherwise we're not really going to have a business that's going to be relevant anymore.
Yeah, and I agree. I think that's a really, really interesting talking point that I'm sure a lot of people are interested in kind of discussing a bit more. We've got to cut to break right now. I'm with Ian Rogers, president of Embester Media. We'll talk more about millennials, his work, his peer group, how he works with his peer group, and how he hires his peer group when we get back from break. Welcome back to Las Vegas Money Resource. As always, your host, Travis Scribner, managing partner of Westpac Wealth Partners, joined in studio by Ian Rogers, president of Embester Media. When we went to break, we were talking with Ian a bit more about himself being a millennial, owning a company as a millennial, and working with millennials essentially as his peer group, and not only his peer group, but in a somewhat subordinate situation sometimes as a business owner, you're going out there and hiring. millennials as well. So I'd love to hear a bit more about your experience with that, how that's gone, not to sound like the crotchety old man over here, you know, telling the kids to get off their lawn and things were so much greater when I was younger. So if you could touch a bit more on that, I'd love to hear about that.
Yeah, absolutely. So part of the hiring process for me right now is we actually have two, I guess if we're just talking about millennials, two millennials here in Vegas and two millennials remote who work, one's in Atlanta and then one is in New Jersey, who we just outsource and work with in terms of design and development. And really the biggest challenge not just comes from hiring the millennials, but we're trying to empower them without really having everybody in the same office. So there's a lot of software that's involved and a lot of things that probably another company doesn't really need to work with or deal with. But at the same time, we're hiring them because of their talent, not just because they're here in Las Vegas, Nevada. So I feel like I need to hire the best people that I can hire. And if that means reaching out and hiring people on a contract basis in different states, then that's what we'll do instead of just limiting ourselves to our local.
Yeah. How's that worked for you as far as hiring people, you know, across the nation? We talk about sometimes the difficulties that people have working with millennials. Now, not only are you working with that demographic, but you're also working with that demographic across the country as opposed to having it here local. You know, I've got a number of millennials at work in my office as well. So I found it's much easier for me to wrangle staff in general when they're in the office as opposed to, you know, spread across the nation.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. The thing that has helped me the most is having a system or a documented system in place that you can repeat whether a new employee comes in and is replaced or whether you're expanding and growing and hiring new employees within a different department. So two major departments within our process is design and development. So design is the look and feel of the website, where the development is the programming, the actual function of it. We have a lot of information written down that we can give to the new hires that are going to show our requirements, show what we're looking for, all of which is going to feed back to the project manager so that we're getting consistent results no matter who it is that we hire. As long as they can do the work and they follow the system, we'll get results that are proven to work for our clients.
That's awesome. We spoke before in the before we went to break about having that entrepreneurial spirit, and it was like kind of something that you always had or always kind of knew, and it sounds like your father helped kind of develop and foster that within you, which I think is amazing to see. It's great to see a parent steer their child that way as opposed to steering them towards, you know, that typical 9-to-5 corporate slavery, if you, for lack of a better term of it. Was there any turning point for you where you decided, you know, this is why I want to own my own business? Was that kind of why moment for you?
Absolutely. So I had that why moment when I was actually working a job, a 9-to-5 job. I was actually working for Chris Fush, who was last session's radio show. And Chris is a great guy to work for, but I always had that drive to do something more and do something bigger. So for me, it was really just having a boss. And I don't think it mattered who it was, but just having that boss made me want to get up and do my own thing.
Realize really quick, you'd be your own best boss.
Absolutely.
You want it out.
Absolutely.
No matter how great of a guy Chris is, you're still answering to somebody.
100%. Exactly.
And I get it. It seems like it's pretty dynamic work that you do. What do you find most interesting about it? I know obviously you're dealing with a number of different people, but I think for most people, there's kind of that one thing that kind of always has them coming back to work, especially business owners. They tend to be much more passionate about what it is that they do than, you know, the average employee. So is there any kind of thing that you find the most that kind of gets you waking up every day, bringing you back to the work and staying passionate about it?
Yeah, absolutely. I'd say for the most part, it's the volatility itself is what's motivating, which is kind of a vague answer, but over the last, say, 5 or 6 years, you look at the smartphone industry and how really Apple has changed that, going from just a regular old website now to a mobile application, which has now spawned the use of mobile devices as literally the mainstream use of all internet. I think back in 2014, mobile usage surpassed desktop usage for the internet as a whole. And just seeing like the different types of applications that the internet itself can use and become a part of is super motivating for me, because we have an affordable way to get our clients tapped into that.
You mentioned an affordable way of doing it. I think when most people think of web design or web development, because I'm sure there's a number of people that are listening to this that probably think about starting their own business, who want to start their own business, who may possibly already own their own business. I think a lot of people are worried about, you know, barrier of entry to starting a website, to building a website, to having this web presence. So you talk about an affordable solution. Can you talk a little bit about how your company would stack up against something that other people may normally use or who have thought about using in the past?
Yeah, absolutely. So again, going back to that managed web design, that web managed web design service, we price it where a company can get started very affordably, very easily, and spread out the payments of, say, a $4,000 website over a period of 2 years. So for example, we have a product called the All-in-One Site Plan. The basic version of that, your first month would be as little as $750, or technically it's $747 to start, and then space out the rest of the payments on the website at only $149 a month.
Wow.
After that.
And as that, would you say that's unique to your business model? Is that something that more companies are moving towards? Because that definitely seems like it's a much easier barrier of entry for, you know, someone just starting out within their business.
I have heard of one other company that's doing the model that we're utilizing right now. I don't know the name of the company.
Say it anyway.
Exactly.
No free plugs.
Exactly. Yeah, I met some guy at a networking event, and I was telling him about our business model, and he said that, oh yeah, I heard some other company that he knew that was doing it, but nobody who I know is utilizing that model.
That's awesome. So, I mean, it's definitely a very affordable way for a client to, I think what a lot of people probably thought was cost prohibitive. I'm sure, like I said, there's probably a number of people that are listening to this that have probably wanted to do something that, you know, probably thought they haven't had the capital to do. So it's definitely a refreshing and interesting approach to doing it. We'll touch more on that when we come back from break. Ian Rogers, president of Investor Media, when we come back. Welcome back to Las Vegas Money Resource. Your host, Travis Scribner, managing partner of Westpac Wealth Partners. Still joined in studio by Ian Rogers, president of Investor Media. When we went to break, we were discussing Ian's kind of unique business model from a standpoint of most companies desiring payment up front for services for a website versus, you know, the way Investor Media is structured is it's almost kind of this monthly ongoing payment spread out over time. When we were actually on break, Ian and I were having kind of a conversation about how that worked for his actual business. Sounded like kind of a good conversation, so we figured we'd actually just kind of continue with that as we came back from break. We were, you know, talking on break, you know, with you taking this lower amount of money up front, how that affects your business, how that affects cash flow, different things like that, if you wanted to kind of continue on that.
Absolutely. So going back to the basic all-in-one site plan, really what it includes is a web design that's mobile friendly, but it also includes hosting, maintenance, updates, security, backups, basically everything that you need to run and maintain a site. So that $149 a month, we're constantly working for, number one, because a business who's going to have specials or regular content is certainly going to be utilizing the service, because the $149 a month price tag includes that after the site's launched. Going back to what we were talking about at the break, is it's somewhat difficult for us because we're doing a lot of work on so little money, but it really drives me to do really great work that way our clients don't cancel.
Yeah, no, that's a really good point. I think about it from our standpoint of things. I think when most people design a website, and I look at our corporate website, which you can find at www.thewp2.com, it's static, you know? So when you look at it, it's just this kind of static website that's been built, that's been constructed. And that's not only our website from a corporate standpoint, that's every company's website. It's kind of this static model. You pay a bunch of money for it. We spend a lot of money on ours. I remember hearing about that. But then not much really changes. Whereas the investor media model seems to be this dynamic hosting of where if I'm paying you what's essentially a retainer fee, you're going to be able to constantly make updates, constantly make changes to the website. And I think from a business owner standpoint myself, it's going to drive me to make more changes, make more updates, because I want to see value out of the $150 that I'm giving you every month. Is that something you've kind of noticed?
Absolutely. There's some who take tremendous advantage of it. There's some who don't. There's some who just use it as a payment plan for the site. And then when they change their team members, they'll send it over to us. But for people who are doing constant blog content, who are doing any type of content that could be posted on a website, which nowadays is super easy to do. Everyone has their phones and video recorders and cameras and things like that. There's always a way that you could post something on your site that's going to mean something to your customers or your potential customers, for sure. And another thing that I think would be good to mention is that every 3 years on the all-in-one site plan, we're going to redesign around the content. For no charge. As long as they stay on that plan, every 3 years they're going to get a new site, because you look at sites that were built 3 years ago today, they're outdated. They're outdated, and the design's going to look dated, and it's going to make the company look dated. So that's just one further piece of the all-in-one that we implemented so that we're providing ongoing value for the customers who aren't necessarily just using it for the payment plan, but that way they can get a new site every 3 years, essentially.
I think we're at 2 years and 6 months, so I may have to revisit this and get an update to the corporate site.
Sounds good.
In starting your own business, it's very challenging, I know. What would you say were some of the larger challenges, some of the bigger challenges for you starting out initially?
So I started it bootstrap. Totally 100% bootstrap. We didn't take any money. I didn't borrow any money. I took literally every penny I had to my name and put it into the business. So the first and foremost, most difficult aspect of starting the business was having the money to market and grow the business. Usually when you start a business, that's not the most difficult time. Usually somebody will have an idea or they have something that they're good at doing and they decide to start a business around that. And then they start the business and they get everyone to jump on board. But it's what happens after the first 9 months or the first year, after you've exhausted all your friends buying it and all your family buying it. At what point do you have enough cash flow to keep the business afloat or to market to bring in new business? So I had a very good learning experience where sales and marketing really needs to be at the forefront and always needs to be the number one priority of the business, because otherwise you're going to run into those slow seasons and slow patches where you don't have any new business and you're looking at what you need to cut back on and what you need to do, or unfortunately who you might need to lay off or something like that.
No, that's extremely profound. I think, you know, so many people say, you know, they're sales adverse, or, you know, I don't want to be in sales, but at the end of the day, nothing happens without sales. Sales is the catalyst for everything. It's, you know, sales from the car you bought to the house that you live in to the companies that you work with, to the dentist that you go with. Somebody had to sell you on just about anything that you've done. Sales in its purest form is, you know, even your spouse, you know, selling your spouse on why they should be with you. So the fact that you kind of figured that sales and marketing part out sounds like it probably gave you a unique edge over a lot of people. I know it seems most people have this great idea for a company or great idea for a business, and they think that alone is going to propel them to success, not realizing that it's not just a great idea. People have to know about the idea and have an interest in it as well. So, you know, kind of hats off to you for figuring that out early. You mentioned your dad being an inspiration. You mentioned former boss Chris Fush being an inspiration as well. Can you talk to me a little bit more about those two and how they kind of inspired you to get started, to get the ball rolling?
Absolutely. Well, I really learned a lot from Chris Fush. Well, it's funny. My dad and Chris Fush knew each other back in the day when they were both doing Amway, which is basically a big multi-level marketing company. So I learned sales tremendously.
If you can sell soap on a rope from Amway, you can sell anything.
Exactly. Okay. That's really what it came down to. Since I was working with Chris on a day-to-day basis, he kind of really took me under his wing and said, hey, this is what you need to do. Go to these meetings. Hey, I'll introduce you to these people, things like that. So, and it was natural for me because it was easy for me to ask people questions and say, hey, how is it that you're successful doing this? Or how is it that you're successful doing that? And just like Chris, my dad was in sales as well. And he always had great quote unquote nuggets of information that you take and you kind of ingest, and it might come back later on, but you end up using them in your life. And so
this was something that you were born to do.
I feel like it. Yeah.
I mean, it was just a matter of what the service was going to be. But it sounds like from, you know, your mentors, your role models, and then your father, this is kind of in your DNA.
Absolutely. Great. I feel like that.
So we're going to take our last break of the show. We'll be right back with Ian Rogers from Investor Media. Welcome back to Las Vegas Money Resource. Your host, Travis Scribner with Westpac Wealth Partners, joined by Ian Rogers, president of Investor Media. When we took our last break, we were discussing with Ian a little bit about the inspiration behind him starting his own business. I think for most business owners starting out, and even as you continue to grow and experience success, one of the hardest things is finding that balance between growing your company and having some form of personal life. How do you kind of find balance between the two of, you know, growing Investor Media and, you know, taking care of business at home as well?
Absolutely. So it's funny because I feel like I've never worked a day in my life. When you do something that you love, you don't feel like you're going to work. Not to say that I don't work hard, but it's really just making the time for it. You can make time to sit down and go over your business plan, just like how I really make it a point to be home at 5:30, talk to my wife, be with my wife and her kids, and make sure that we're all together. I don't want to be that kind of guy who goes to work at, you know, 6 o'clock in the morning and doesn't come home until 9 o'clock at night, and their family never sees him.
Yeah.
So I've always made it a point. I got an office at my house. I got a cell phone, so I can always take care of business no matter where I'm at.
You make a good point there. You mentioned you've got an office at home, and you know you've got the cell phone. I think in this day and age now, and I know I'm just as guilty of it as anyone else, it's difficult at times to actually disconnect from your business. Especially being in a web-based, technology-based company, is that something that you've struggled with at all? You know, when you're home, but are you present when you're home?
I feel like I am. The only time I'm not is when there would be something pressing, a true emergency, a web emergency, so to speak, where without me, you know, a site might be offline or there's something that we need to fix before a deadline or something like that. I feel like I'm definitely present at home. And part of that's through delegation. You need to have a good team who can back you up, who can take care of things when you're not around, and empowering them to do a great job in the way that they feel is the best way.
Well, sounds like you've kind of figured out that work-life balance a bit more than most business owners have. Las Vegas, it sounds like you've been in the city for quite some time.
Born and raised.
I love it. That's a great plug for Born and Raised, local tavern.
My friend. Oh, I know that place.
Oh, yeah. Awesome place. Good friend of mine, Scott Godino, runs that place. So kind of a seamless segue for Scotty and the boys over at Born and Raised. I love seeing that. Vegas is those of us that are from this town feel a deep connection to it, I feel like. But we've had some ups and downs in this city from an economy standpoint. Obviously, things seem to be coming back much stronger than they have been in years past. Do you see the economy of the city or the economy of the nation as a whole as a driving force behind your business's growth or lack thereof, potentially?
Well, I think naturally it would. I started the business in 2009, which was right in the middle of the pit of one of the worst economic times we've seen in the United States, and especially Vegas as a whole. You know, my family was in prominent, you know, had a prominent real estate career, so that was certainly a challenge. But I don't think the economy is certainly going to hold me back from going out and meeting people, going to networking events, talking to people, and finding business.
It's interesting you brought up, you started in 2009. I work with a lot of small business owners as clients of mine, and it's really interesting to see how many businesses were started in the city in like 2008, 2009, 2010, when it was really rough and when most people would have just been heading for the hills and looking for safety. So many entrepreneurs, I think, saw that as opportunity. So it's really cool to see like how many people started around that time. I think it speaks to the resilience of this city. Talk to me a little bit about how the process looks. If I'm a client and I'm contacting Ian, what does that look like for me?
So really the first thing that I'd recommend that they do is pick up a copy of a book that I published late last year. It's called Websites That Win. You can get it on my website at www.mvestormedia.com. M like Mary, V like Victor, ESTORMEDIA.com. And below the main caption there, there's a link to where you can get the book. And it's not a do-it-yourself book, but what it does is whether you're hiring us or not, you'll be prepared in the different elements of designing the site, everything from content to design to functionality and things like that. And so there's a worksheet in that book that they can actually write down on paper. And if they give it to us, we're now ultra prepared and know exactly what it is that the client needs, which is a bonus because the client knows exactly what they want and they've written it down. So it makes for a very seamless and easy process.
I love it. Where do you see the company going from here? Expanding into any different roles, any different projects, or do you kind of see the growth of what it is that you're doing and kind of staying in that path?
Yeah, so I see us continuing to do web design within the foreseeable future, and with the disclaimer of whatever web design means to the market. It changes so much. Who knows what device is going to come out that we're probably going to need to be compatible with or work with or something like that. So we're going to adapt and we're going to change and we're going to continue to provide the managed web design service at whatever level the market needs us to provide it at.
Cool. I think one of my favorite things about meeting with business owners or doing this show and having access to business owners kind of in this environment is they all have this unique story of how they got started or what drove them to their business or the inspiration behind it. For you, you know, what was kind of the best piece of advice that you could give someone out there listening if they wanted to start their own business? Maybe it was something someone told you in the past or something you've kind of come to the realization for, but you can give anyone out there listening some advice on how to start their own business or some inspiration behind it. What would it be?
So if I were to give one piece of advice, it would be to do something that you enjoy doing, something that you love doing, and something that you want to wake up for and get up early for. And
eating pizza and having ice cream. If I can get someone to pay me for that, I am golden.
If you can make money,
would love that as well.
If you can make money at that, Travis, I'll do that in a heartbeat. But really, though, is to find something that you're good at. And find something that you love doing, because if you have the greatest idea and it makes $1 billion doing it, but you don't love doing it, I personally don't see the point in doing it.
Yeah, and I couldn't agree with you more. It's so funny. You see so many people that when Monday rolls around, they're just kind of rolling their eyes and dreading the workday. But so many, you know, business owners or entrepreneurs are just ready to go. They're ready to get that week started. Ian, thank you so much for being with us this week on Las Vegas Money Resource. If people out there listening want to get a hold of Ian Rogers and Investor Media, they want a website built that's going to be dynamic, it's going to be managed every month, they're going to have this awesome team on retainer, how would they go about contacting you?
You can call us directly. We're local here to Vegas. Our main office line is 702-530-7360. And again, if anyone wants a free copy of Websites That Win, go to mvestormedia.com. And on the homepage, there's an offer to pick up the book.
Awesome. Ian Rogers, president of Mvestor Media. Travis Scribner, your host of Las Vegas Money Resource. Don't forget to like us on Facebook. You can find us at, surprise, surprise, Las Vegas Money Resource on there. Look forward to speaking with you all next week. Take care. And boom goes the dynamite.